we sort of like left off in the last year regarding the Ramchal, where the trouble that actually raging situation and turmoil in his life started with a Choshe Bal Mekubal that came to visit from Eretz Yisrael to Italy. Name was Rabbi Rafal Yisrael Kimchi, was his name. And this Rabbi Rafal Yisrael happened to come to the Beis Medrash of the Ramchal just at a time that the Tkufa Ramchal was not there at the time. Because as mentioned, the Rebbe of the Ramchal, who used to live in Padua, Rabbi Shaya Basan, one of the Gedolei Yisrael, who had left Padua to go to Riggio to be together with his father-in-law. To remind you, the father-in-law of Rabbi Shai Basan was the Binyamin HaKoyen, who was one of the elder Balam Ukabalam of the generation, very highly respected. And Ramchal, from time to time, went to visit his Rebbe. So he left Padua. Turns out that this Bal Mekubal, coming from Eretz Yisrael, comes to visit the Beis Medrash of Ramchal. And some of the Talmidim wanted to sort of show off, or in a certain sense, the greatness of the Rebbe, to relate to this Bal Mekubal, that he should realize who the Ramchal was. So he was a Yerushalmi. So he showed him some of the Ksavim, some of the writings, some of the manuscripts of the Ramchal. And there was something that he never saw before, to that extent. He was very in the spoil, very astonished. And he remained there, as a matter of fact, throughout the Yom Neroyim period, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And he continued to see things that he could not believe what his eyes would see. And he, matter of fact, he wrote it down on paper. He wrote his impressions to the Rebbe of the Ramchal, Rabbi Shaya Basan. And he writes the following. This is the Loshon that he writes. He writes that, Shom bebeisoi shel harav hakodosh hamakubal. This is how he titles the Ramchal. So there in the house of harav hakodosh hamakubal holy kai. Nimseisi, he says, that's where I spent time. I spent 12 days there, but they saw it. Plois, I saw things that were wondrous. First of all, everything was written in Zohar HaKadosh language. It's written Aramaic, pure Aramaic. Reisi, I saw Perusha al Kohelis, I saw his Perish on Kohelis. Also another a Sefer Tekunim. I saw also that he wrote a second Zohar HaKadosh, but I only saw up to Parshas Vayetze, from Bereishis to Vayetze, and that alone Kvar Hoyla Arba Chiburim was already four complete volumes, just as he saw from Bereishis to Vayetze. Finished the Mamti Al Amare was something that he says I stood in awe. He said to see what I witnessed. I never saw anything like that in my life. So writes this Rafael Yisrael to the Rebbe Ramchal, and he signs off Ha'eved Rafael Yisrael Kimchi. And turns out that he began, therefore did not keep a secret what he saw. He started to reveal throughout Padua itself, and so on and so forth. And the whole city really becomes very surprised. I mean, they knew Ramchal was a very choshev person, even maybe a great person, but did not realize to the extent that was now being revealed by this Rafal Yisrael Kimchi. Also, we had mentioned that there was a visitor who came to Padua. Actually, his purpose was to study in the University of Padua, to study medicine. His name was Rabbi Yekusiel Gordon. Seal Gordon comes to the Ramchal, and he recognizes the greatness, so he pleaded with him that he should accept him as a Talmud in his yeshiva and to teach him Kabbalah. And Ramchal acquiesced to that, but he gave him certain hachonis to do, certain preparations of how to act before you're able to qualify to be received as a Talmud. And then he taught him. This Rabbi Kasil became so attached to the Ramchal, it turns out to be one of the most choshev Talmidim that Ramchal had among all the Talmidim. And as a result, as mentioned, he wanted to leave. He said, I'm not going to study medicine. He abandoned the whole idea. Turns out that Ramchal did not let him. He said, no, you have to go ahead and study it. And the reason was because the Magid that visited the Ramchal from time to time told him that Rabbi Kasil Gordon should not stop and should continue in terms of learning Chochmas HaRefuah and so on. Anyway, this shliach of Yerushalmi, Rabbi Foley Yisrael, did not stop there. He moves on to Venice. The Padua in Venice is not far at all. By car today is something maybe like 40 minutes, possibly. And so he goes on to Venice. And there, again, he begins to reveal something. He was so in awe that he just figured he just has to tell everybody. So I found that there's such a great man among you. He said, and the world should know about it, and certainly in our areas. So he goes in Venice, and again, and it became a tremendous rash, hearing about what they were being told. What they heard from this Rebbe Foley Yisrael, especially the Bnei Yeshiva in Venice had what was called the Yeshiva Gedoyla. But it's not like you have some yeshiva, like you have one Rosh Yeshiva, you know, then you have just young Talmidim. It was called in Venice, called the Bnei Yeshiva, were called Gedoyla Rabbonim. It was an yeshiva type of a setting, but all of them were actually Gedoyla Rabbonim in Venice. And he went there and revealed to them also the same thing. In addition to that, Rabbi Yekasiel Gordon also, who became, as we said, studied medicine in Padua, and at the same time he goes and he writes off actually a number of letters. One of the letters he writes regarding what he witnessed about Ramchal, he writes to someone that is called Reb Mordechai Yoffe. And I should not be confused, because the Lavush was also called Reb Mordechai Yoffe. Was the time of the Maharal, so you're going back in the 1500s, but now we're not talking about it, we're talking about the 1700s, the early 1700s. So he writes the letter. Mordechai Yoffe was a very influential person, but it was in Vienna, and he writes what he saw in Padua, and he writes detailed, very clear, all the Madrigas, but you see now was a Talmud, so he saw more things than what Rabbi Yisrael Kimchi saw in the 12 days that he was there without Ramchal. Rabbi Yisrael was actually a Talmud, learning from Ramchal, so he writes in detail about all of the gavlos about the Ramchal, and he figures it's a Besura Taiva, just to tell the world, let them know. But it turns out that this was a Maise Sotne Tzliach, that all of these things that became known, that the godless of Ramchal in this aspect became known, actually really was fuel for the Sotan, meaning that this letter to Mordechai Yoffe fell into the hands of a great Kenoi, one of the greatest and the most fiercest opponents of anything that had any suspicion with Shabbosai Tzvi, and that was Moshe Chagiz. Moshe Chagiz was actually from Eretz Yisrael originally. He comes down to raise money for Eretz Yisrael. He comes and he spends time in Germany, and he had found himself new jobs to do. Whenever there was somebody who was very suspicious, he was a great Kenoi, and interesting, even if he was like a foreigner in these lands, but he had tremendous influence on all the Rabbonim. Even, we're talking about Germany, we're talking about even in Poland. He would write a lot of letters, and very, very, figure of speech, had tremendous lishoinis, had very gifted pen, and very, very convincing, and unrelenting, just pounding, continuous. He was the one that we had a shtikla hakdama before when we had left to take the oil to Italy. But Nechemya Chiyun, again, who was one of the sort of like survivors or the remnants of the Shabbosai Tzvi era, who again posed as a great Baal Mekubal, and then he was actually exposed, you know, for what he really was. But one of the reasons that this Nechemya Chiyun was so exposed was because of Moshe Chagiz. And Moshe Chagiz was someone who did not stop and wrote letters to all over to expose and to let the world know that this man is an imposter, was posing as an Ish Kodesh, as a holy man, and so on. So on the other hand, he's really a great apikoiris and cannot be trusted, and is a very, very dangerous person. So you can realize that Moshe Chagiz was already busy a lot with this Nechemya Chiyun, but he was successful at the end. And as a matter of fact, he was also one of those, together with Rabbi Yankev Emden, who was fighting Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz. And again, we always think here about Rabbi Yankev Emden. It was not just Rabbi Yankev Emden alone, but it was actually this Rabbi Moshe Chagiz, also lived in Hamburg there, and also was very, very strong, a very fierce opponent, and so on and so forth. Ad kedei kach, that when Rabbi Yonasan was still in Prague at the time, Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz, in order to exonerate himself, took together all of the Rabbonim. Was the night of Kol Nidre night. It was the night of Kol Nidre night. It was 1726. Kol Nidre night, he actually makes a cherem on anyone who has any connection to Shabbosai Tzvi. This was supposed to be an open declaration, clearly to show that, look, if any suspicion you have against me, that I am an adherent, you know, to Shabbosai Tzvi somehow. Here, clearly, openly, we're making a cherem against anyone who has any shaykhis, you know, to that movement. But nevertheless, Moshe Chagiz, he was still not convinced. Atkadega, such a kanoi he was, and he still continued to do what he had to do, what he felt he had to do, and so on and so forth. But after a while, that quieted down. Four years later, starts the parsha with Ramchal. So Moshe Chagiz now had a new had a new field of battle to wage war in. And this basically started with the letter of Rabbi Kassil. It was an innocent letter. Rabbi Kassil just meant well. He was so enamored and in awe of the Ramchal, what he saw personally. So he's revealing it to the world. Well, all that was all that Moshe Chagiz needed. So basically what he goes is, he lived at the time in Altona, which was a suburb of Hamburg. Still today it is like that. And who was the Rav over there at the time was Rabbi Cheskel Katzenellenbogen. Cheskel Katzenellenbogen was a great goyin. He was the Mechaber Shal Seshuv is Knesset Yecheskel. As a matter of fact, Yaakov Emden was one of the balabatim of that kehila, but Yaakov was not the Rav there. The Rav was, at the time, was Rabbi Cheskel Katzenellenbogen. It was subsequent, Rabbi Cheskel Katzenellenbogen was Nifter. It was then that Rabbi Yonis Leibchitz became the successor, became Rav there. And then Rabbi Yaakov Emden had it. Had his situation with Rabbi Yonison. But interesting enough, just to point out, when Rabbi Yaakov Emden, when he published his Siddur for the very first time, this Rabbi Yaakov Emden, the famous Rabbi Yaakov Emden Siddur, he took a skoma from the Rav of his Rav, the Rav of the town, the Rav of the city. He takes a skoma from Rabbi Cheskel Katzenellenbogen, writes him a skoma. He sends it back. He says, you didn't write nice enough. He says, I want another one. I want a nicer one. He says, listen, and Kachavi. So we have these copies of both letters. The original one, dated earlier, and then which is dated later. And then ultimately, Rabbi Yaakov Emden had issues with Rabbi Cheskel Katzenellenbogen also, which we'll put that aside. This was Rabbi Yaakov Emden. So in any case, so the Rabbi Yoshe Chagiz, actually he fuels and he spurs on Rabbi Cheskel Katzenellenbogen to go with him Bishutvis to fight the Ramchal and so on, even though they never met Ramchal at all. Never met him, so it's like you figure maybe they meet him and somehow, and the suspicions, you know, are somehow become realized. But no, it's based upon only what they had heard from Yib Kassil, and based upon that, both of them went out to fight out against Ramchal, and they wrote letters that this man has to be exposed, and no one should have any shaykhis with him, and so on and so forth. So there are many letters that Ramchal, when he heard that, wrote in response, maybe from time to time, we'll have time to learn some of those letters. I say learn them, yeah, it's not just some read them. Adam Chal is basically trying to defend himself, you know, from all the accusations, why they don't hold any water. But Lamai said, the idea was that they wanted Adam Chal to commit himself, that he stops learning Kabbalah, stops writing any svarim on Kabbalah, especially no more to stop what they call this nonsense, this is what they call, about him having a magid, having a malach, this is, he's living in a world of fantasy, he's dreaming it, it never happened, it's not true, and it's all made up, and Adam Chal is trying to present himself as someone who really, who he is not so. So, but it was, that would be just, it would only be that would be just one part of the problem. See, because he realized Moshe Chagiz was not in Italy. He was writing all these letters, you know, from Germany, all over the place. However, Venice, which is really, as we say, like a sister town to Padua, and then you have the Gedolei Rabbanim of Venice, so Moshe Chagiz writes to them as well. And he says, you know, you're closer to the problem. He says, so therefore it's your achrayus. You are the rabbonim, you are the leaders of the Jewish community. And it's up to you here again to see, to stop this. Again, this disease is going to spread. Because then it means that what? That we still have the shirayim and the extension of the Shabsai Tzvi era, which brought so much tzoras and so many problems. He says, we thought we weeded it out. And this is, again, this is just another hemshech, and we have to make sure to stop it and to nip it in the bud. So and so on. This is now the Rabbonim of Venice. God, they at first were reluctant to get involved. Why? Because again, Padua, Ramchal's father was Rabbi Yaakov Chai, someone we never mentioned. Kamat, Rabbi Yaakov Chai was a very influential person in Padua, and therefore it was not a fight that they were willing to pick against someone who is a prestigious person. So for the Ramchal's sake, it was not. It was for the father, for the mishpacha. So they did not really get involved so strongly at the time. But again, but this Moshe Chagiz did not stop. He continued to write letters after letters and so on and so forth to the Rabbonim. And the main nekuda was that the Ramchal, even writing letters to Venice, that was really close, that was very close to him. You see, he writes to them to explain himself all the kashas. Basic kashas that they had against him is that it's not possible in the Zman Hazeh in the 1700s to have a prisoner such a madrege. You think the time of Tanoim, the times of Amoroim, times of the prophets, you know, then you have people rising to such madregas. But to have someone who claims to has risen to such madregas, to have Eliyahu HaNavi come to him, he says he has the neshamas of various malachim, the malach matat, which is, you know, the greatest of all the ministering angels, and so on and so forth. All of these claims, Avraham Avinu comes to him. It just didn't end. And so it's not possible, they said, that someone b'zman hazeh should be able to reach such great madrigas. And therefore, clearly this is suspicion, this is someone who's an imposter, it can't be true, and so on and so forth. You don't have a magi, you don't have a malach coming to you, you know, in the 1700s. It's something of the past, it does not exist today, especially in Chutz La'aretz. Maybe in Eretz Yisrael it would happen. But in Chutz La'aretz, he says, not possible, impossible, it can't happen. So Ramchal clearly writes to show why it is possible. It doesn't make a difference what era you're living in. Shaykh, a person that if he lives up to the madrigas to be worthy, it doesn't make a difference. There's no era. It doesn't go by any date or any calendar date. It doesn't make a difference if it says Yisrael or it's in Chutz La'aretz. And he goes to show him, first of all, brought him a raya from a Ramban, actually in Parshas Lech Lecha. Ramban clearly says that a person is capable, if he's worthy, even to have a malach visit him. And so on. It doesn't mean he has to be a prophet. You have to be a prophet. You can be a great Baal Madregan to have a malach. And one of the rayas is Hagar. Well, Hagar was a big tzedekis. Hagar HaMitzri, she had a malach come to her. There's reasons. Because Baruch Hu sees fit to send a malach, you're going to see a malach. And this was also Daniel, by the way. Daniel, according to the Gemara Masechtas Megillah, Daniel was not actually a prophet. He was not a Novi. Yeah, he was a great, great, tremendously great, but he did not have a title of a prophet as a Novi. And nevertheless, he saw things that even prophets didn't see. He was privy to seeing Shemayim things that even the Nevi'im didn't see. So you see that it's possible to have all of these revelations. At the same time, he says he had many Tanoim and Meroim that Eliyahu Novi came to them, and we're talking about in Bavel, we're talking about Rav Onan, for example. When we say Tona de Be'elio, right, we Tona de Be'elio are the teaching to Eliyahu Novi. Well, how do we have it today? We send the davening, right? Tona de Be'elio, Kol Hashoyin Halachas B'chol Yoyim, and so many, there's so many prokim, there's a whole sefer of the teachings of Eliyahu Novi. He taught it to Rav Onan. Rav Onan was an Amoyre. Eliyahu Novi visited him, and so on, and taught him that. Also, we find the Ravid, and also many of the Rishonim of the Provence, from Provence, Chachme Provincia, that we find that they claimed that they also had Torah that they were taught by Eliyahu Novi. And also, he points out the Beis Yosef. Take the Beis Yosef, Yosef Karo, the Mechaber of Shulchan Aruch, while he was still in Chutz La'aretz, also had a Magid come to visit him. It's a whole sefer called Magid Meishorim, which are the teachings, which, by the way, it's all in Zohar Loshon, Kabbalah Loshon. It's literally the Loshon of Aramaic, which are the teachings of the Magid, which was a Malach that came. Or the Ramah Mepanu, great Baal Mekubal, Rabbeinu Menachem Azariah, Ramah, Reish Memayin, Rabbeinu Menachem Azariah of Panu, whose caper we happen to find just on the wall. There's a plaque on the wall over there, the great Baal Mekubalim of all time. Also had a Malach, Chutz La'aretz we're talking about. Then you had also the Megalamukis in Krakow. Tremendous Baal Mekubal, the time of the Bach. Also, he had, as a matter of fact, it's on the Matzeva, right? He said, Dibra Eliyo itponim alponim. The Eliyo spoke to him. So on the Matzeva is written that he was privy to have Eliyo Novi speak to him face to face. So here we're talking about Chutz La'aretz. Talking about also, this was like in the 1600s. So again, so we had these things that was not. And what about the Arizal? The great Arizal, the Riyah Kodesh. Rizal in Mitzrayim. Rizal was in Mitzrayim, so also then he had a revelation, which actually that was the start-up which promoted the Arizal to really delve deeply, deeply to go into Kabbalah. And these were things that you didn't see, it was not a common thing for any, but Yechidim, yeah, very special people who were zeichet to that, had it. And therefore, Ramchal's writing in letters to defend himself why it's possible to have a person, Bizman Azeh, could be even a Chutz La'aretz, that can be privileged to have, he says, all of this, to have a Malach, to have a Yuhanovi, and all this come to visit him, and so on. In addition to that, he goes on to point out, he had his Rebbe, which was really, that was very, very, something that, which held out for quite a while. Rabbi Shai Basson was a recognized God Lador, and he really defended his Talmud, knowing his Talmud from as young as he was, and he said that it's not true, and so on and so forth, and therefore they should subside. The Rabbonim of Venice, Lemaisa, a little bit, they did calm down, but they hid. They hid the letter of Rabbi Shai Basson, who's defending Ramchal. They did not want it to come out that his Rebbe is defending him. But Lamai said they kept quiet for a while. Also, we should mention that one of the great Rabbonim of Venice at the time was Rabbi Yaakov Abohab, who is the son of Reb Shmuel Abohab. Shmuel Abohab was one of the great poskim, and it was a major rov in Venice. Machaber the Sefer Dvar Shmuel, the man fasted most of the week, and so on and so forth. Many, many great things are written about him. The Reb Shmuel Abohab was succeeded by his son Reb Yankov Abohab, but at that time, when Reb Shmuel Abohab was the rov, he was exclusive rov of Venice for many years. But subsequently, there were many, many rov on him, but his son Reb Yankov Abohab, he became very strong supporter of the Ramchal at the time. So this is just, as we say, just the beginning again, the tip of the iceberg of how things just went from better to worse, or rather from worse to worse, and the life of the Ramchal, which as Hashem we'll talk about a little more as we get along. So as we saw, the very stormy life, Ramchal again lived only 39 years, that was the whole Ramchal. And you can imagine a strong portion of that period, you know, with all the tzoras that he went through. And it was the Maggid of Mezrich, the successor of the Baal Shem Tov, said it was simply, it was not the time. He said the door was not worthy to be able to have all those secrets of Kabbalah and so on that Ramchal was privy to be able to offer to the world. So the Sultan was very successful in order to squash that and to be able to close up and to block the real Torah from the Ramchal from passing. But yet we have, you know, there's really 30 swarms of the Ramchal. But really the true essence of the depth of what the Ramchal had was something that was stifled. But of course the Ramchal goes on in history, has become one of the greatest, and of course, as we mentioned many times, the Vilna Goyen said, if I had been alive in the time of Ramchal, I would walk all the way from Vilna to sit and learn Torah by the feet of Ramchal. So this is Ramchal. So we're learning now the Sefer Derech Hashem. So we go over here, it's we're at the beginning of Perek Beis actually. But it's called Daf Lamed Aleph. Daf Lamed Aleph. You realize the title of the Perek Beis, the Ramchal, is called B'Tachlis HaBriya. Tachlis HaBriya means Ramchal here in this chapter. The purpose of creation. What's the purpose of creation? Hashem creates the world, creates man. The main focus here really is a man. So B'Tachlis HaBriya, the Ramchal says as follows. Ramchal is trying to explain to us the purpose of Hashem creating the world. It begins the following. Hine atachlis babriya, says the purpose of creation, says Ramchal, hoyelahetiv mituvoy yizbarach shemoy luzalosoy. The purpose was for Hashem, he wants to bestow of his goodness upon others. Purpose of Hashem creating the world was to be able to bestow Hashem's massive goodness onto mankind. So Hashem created man to give him the opportunity to be able to derive tremendous, tremendous pleasure, to be able to be the beneficiary of Hashem's goodness. The explanation that the Ramchal says here is kamat the same that he says in Mesilas Yesharim. Sometimes it's a different variation of words. And there, the Ramchal says, right in the beginning, in Mesilas Yesharim, actually in Perek Aleph, Ramchal's lashon is over there, Shoh Odom Loi Nivra, man, he says, was created in order to delight in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Man was given opportunity to live in this world, right, in order to be able to gain, right, to gain worthiness, to be joy, the ultimate joy, which is the greatest joy ever, pleasure that we can't even explain, as the Ramchal goes on in the first chapter in Mesilas Yesharim, that to be able to delight in Hashem. So here the Ramchal is telling us also that the Tachlis HaBriya was Lehetiv Mituvoy. Because Baruch wanted to have the opportunity to bestow Lehetiv, to be Metiv, to do good, to bestow good upon others. So Ramchal goes on to explain, you have to understand what it means. When Hashem is giving of His goodness to others, it's not like simply like when one person gives goodness or shares with his goodness with others. Talking about Kodesh Baruch Hu sharing goodness. And he goes on as follows. Ramchal is trying to explain the nature of Hashem's goodness, and he says, "Hinei tira." He says, "Note." He says that kihu levadoi yizborach shemoi. First of all, that Hashem alone, exclusively, is hashleimus huamiti. Hashem alone, right, is true perfection. Hashem, Hakadosh Baruch Hu alone, is hashleimus huamiti. He is the true perfection. Hameshulol mikol achesroinus. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is devoid of all his shortcomings. There's no fault in Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is the epitome of perfection. Shalom b'chol ha-shleimos. And he says, Mishulol mekol ha-chisroinis, devoid of any shortcomings. This is something that he already expressed already earlier, but he goes on further. Ve'ein shleimus acha k'moyu klal. Does not exist in this world, or in any world, at any time, nor will it ever exist. Ein shleimus acha k'moyu klal. There is no other state of perfection like a Kodesh Baruch Hu's whatsoever. There's no state, there's nothing that can be as perfect ever in any instance, in any being, in any creature as a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And therefore he says, if you imagine and you think, you point to some creature or to a person and you say to yourself, oh, this is a picture of perfection, it's not really true, because it's only, man can only be a picture of perfection to the relative, meaning to the extent that he does not have the faults of others below him. So he's above them. So he's considered to be perfect in relation to others that are less perfect. But there's no such thing as a man being completely perfect or absolutely perfect. That's what Ramchal is saying in the next few lines. The Nimsa, you're going to find out, Shekol Shleimus Sheyudme, any imaginable perfection. Yeah, you imagine that someone is perfect. If it's besides the Kodesh Baruch Hu, if you imagine someone to be perfect besides the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Chutz Meshleimus Yisbarach Shemoi, besides the Kodesh Baruch Hu's perfection, realize hine einenu shleimus emiti. It's not true perfection. It's not possible besides the Kodesh Baruch Hu, other than the Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's not possible to have pure perfection or true perfection. Elo yikro, he says, shleimus is only referred to as perfect, be'erech, relative, el inyan chosur mamenu, to something more deficient. So someone is more deficient than you, so you're considered to be more perfect than the other person. So it's only more perfect, but certainly not absolutely perfect. There's no such thing. Because, again, achashleimus behechlet, because absolute perfection, einoi elo shleimusoi yizborach shemoi, is only found within the perfection that's associated, he says, with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Which means quite simply, if you take a human being, for example, if you find a human being that he perfects himself, let's say in a certain area. So when a human being perfects himself in a certain area, it only means that he improved upon a deficiency that he had. That's not true, he says, when we refer to Kodesh Baruch Hu, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu is an absolute state of perfection. And therefore, he says Ramchal. See, Ramchal now is actually building a point on top of a point. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is absolute perfection, totally perfect, it means his goodness is also totally perfect. Because Hashem is perfect, and anything that emanates from Hashem, that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, also has to be perfect. Which can pose a little bit of a problem. Why? Because if Hashem is totally perfect, it means that Hashem's goodness upon us also has to be totally perfect, and we're not perfect human beings. So how are we going to glean perfect goodness coming from Kodesh Baruch Hu when we within ourselves are imperfect beings? And Ramchal now to explain as follows. And he says, so if we have clearly established, says Ramchal, that Kodesh Baruch Hu is the one who is the Shleimus Behechlet, who is Ein Shleimus Acha Kamoyu, who is the epitome of perfection, that means that his goodness is also totally perfect, as he goes on to say. So the Alkein, therefore meaning, being that Hashem is absolutely, completely perfect, so it means that B'yoyis Chefso Yizborach Shemoy Lehetu Lizolosoy, being that Hashem's will, right, is to be mated, is to bestow good upon others, it will not suffice for Hashem to give just a small portion of goodness. It's not possible that Hashem is only going to give a small portion, because Hashem was the epitome of Shleimus, of perfection, so his goodness also is perfect. So now we have to figure out a way how Hashem is going to impart perfect goodness. Will not suffice be yoysoi metiv kitzastoiv. If Hashem is completely perfect, his good is totally perfect, it will not suffice for Hashem only to give a kitzastoiv, only to give a small token of goodness. Elo be yoysoi metiv, so when Hashem, it will only suffice regarding Kodesh Baruch Hu. What type of goodness suffices? It only suffices be yoysoi metiv tachlis atoiv, when Hashem is bestowing the ultimate good possible, she'efshir lebruim shekablu. It means that Hashem will be bestowing the maximum amount of goodness that is possible. Anything less Anything less is not absolute goodness. So it means now that we hear that Hashem is ready to impart the highest level of goodness that is possible for a human being to receive. So how does that take place? It goes on from Chal now to explain. And Chal says, as we see, now, now, being that Hashem, only Hashem, is the true good, right? His desire will not be satisfied. Hashem's desire will not be satisfied only to give you a chelik of toiv. Being that Hashem is the epitome of toiv, the epitome of perfection, so Hashem's desire will not be satisfied. Lo yistapek chefzoi. Hashem's desire will not be satisfied. He says, chefzoi hatoiv el biyoisoi mahane luzulosoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will only be satisfied if it can be mahane. If he's able to benefit others, you know what kind of toiv? Katoiv batoiv hahu atzmoi. In the very self-same goodness that is part of Hashem, only that will satisfy Hashem if he's capable of somehow imparting that, like, to human beings further, to mankind. Shehu hatoiv hasholem amiti. Because that is the goodness that is both, Hashem's goodness is both perfect and it is true. So now the question is, how can a mere mortal, right, be able to be a beneficiary, to be able to receive that which is called the perfection of goodness as well, the highest level of goodness that only Hashem is able to bestow, and only with which satisfy Hashem? How is it possible for a human being to receive it? After all, you're only a human being. So Michal goes on to say, how is it possible for a Kodesh Baruch Hu to impart, right, of his own goodness, he says, to his creation? And he goes on. V'hine mitzad acher. I wanted to realize, on one hand, that hatoiv hazeh i'efshe sheyimso elaboy. First of all, this complete goodness that we're talking about can only be found, he says, within him. Which means, quite simply, if by definition only Hashem is absolutely good, right? So therefore there has to be a way that Kodesh Baruch Hu will be able to impart for creation to be able to receive Hashem's goodness in and of itself. So how, in what manner does Hashem bestow ultimate goodness upon His creations? How does Hashem do that? How does Hashem impart ultimate goodness upon His creations? He says as follows, Al kein gozru chiz chochmosoi. So therefore, Hashem's chochmah decreed, Shemitzius ha-hatove hu-amiti azois, that the reality of true goodness, Yiu b'ma shiyitein mokem lebriyum, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, will give the opportunity for those that are created to attach themselves to Him. Which means the following. This is what Ramchal is saying. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created human beings, but He also gave human beings the ability that they can attach themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say, L'dovka boy. What does L'dovka boy mean? That a person is able to attach himself to Hashem. It means, which is an unbelievable thing, that if a human being attaches himself to Hashem, in a certain sense, he becomes a chelik of Hashem. And therefore, Hashem's goodness, which is totally perfect, and which is the shleimus of goodness, if man succeeds in connecting to Hashem, to associating with Hashem, to becoming part of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, he therefore is able to derive the perfection of goodness. But that is only when you as a human being, succeeds in cleaving to Hashem, to connecting to Hashem, to attaching yourself to Hashem, to become part of Hashem. You become as it is, you become a shtik rabbi nishlalim. You become a chelev of Kodesh Baruch Hu himself. And that, in fact, should not be so surprising that it's possible, because in many, many years ago, when we had the Yeshurim of the Tanya, the Tanya says very clearly, what is a neshama? What do you think a neshama is? The neshama that was blown, right? Kodesh Baruch Hu blows a neshama from within himself, blows into man, which means that every man has a chelik of Kodesh Baruch Hu within him. So it means that when we say a person is a godly person, it means he's actually a chelik of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That the lashon is chelik elikai mimal, which is a commonly in Sefer Chassidus use that lashon. It's mind-boggling to behold how a human being, a boss of Adam, can actually be a shtik rabbi nishlalim. It's not just a servant of Hashem, it's not just a follower of Hashem, you become actually a shtik rabbi nishlalim mamish. And that is through the neshama that was blown in. So if a person actually is able to connect with that neshama, does not do things to defile that neshama, does not do things to destroy the holiness of that neshama, he actually is a chelik of a Kodesh Baruch Hu himself within him, And the male, therefore, is able to be the beneficiary of all the toiv, the complete ultimate goodness that is within HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So it goes on Ramchal and explains it with the following words. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the opportunity for Bruim, for created beings, Lishi Yizdabku Bo Yizbarach Shemoi, that they should be able, right, to attain a state of dveikus. They should be able to attach themselves to him. So now, so to the extent that you attach yourself to Kodesh Baruch Hu, you're going to glean from Hashem's goodness. To the extent that you attach yourself to Kodesh Baruch Hu, to what degree? He said, Ba'oisei Hashir, so to the extent, She'ef Shalem Shizdabku, as much that it's capable of human beings of attaining, he says, that state of dveikus, he says, so then you're going to be zoiche, he says. Va'oz nimso, so it comes out, shema shemitzad atzmon, that even though a human being on his own, a human being on his own is very limited. So even though a human being on his own is very limited, however, he says, as he says, a human being mitzad atzmon yi efsher shiyatoyaru bishleimus kishleimus yizbarach shemoy. It's partially like that. A human being on his own is never able to reach any state of perfection, right? Kishlei Musa Yizbarach, which is attributed to Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's not possible on his own. But if you connect yourself to Kodesh Baruch Hu, then now you become an extension, as it were, from Kodesh Baruch Hu himself. But he named it his Tabkum Boy. But nevertheless, on the basis of attaining a state of Dveikus within Hashem, Yagia Lohem, says Ramchal, right? Ba'oisei Ashir. He said, then they will be able to derive, he said, to the extent, to the degree, to the degree she'efshel lita bishleimus ahu, to the degree that this perfection can be ascribed, then they will also, right, be able to glean from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ultimate goodness. Mitzad heyoyson mizdabkim bo yizbarach shemoy, simply by the virtue of attaining a state of dveikus with Hashem. V'yimotzu, and it comes out that consequently they will find themselves, human beings will find themselves nehenim b'toivu amitis ahi, they will find themselves benefiting from that true goodness, be'erech she'efshel lehem lahanesboy, as much as possible for a human being to be able to benefit. So it comes out quite simply as follows. Being that, again, let's start again. True perfection and absolute goodness are only found in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the opportunity, says Ramchal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the opportunity to benefit from that goodness through our dveikus in Hashem. Through our dveikus in Hashem, through our attachment to Hashem, so now we are able to gain and to benefit from Hashem's absolute goodness. And any other method of bestowing goodness will fall short of the ultimate good. That's what Ramchal is saying. So the only way, the only derech to be able to receive, to benefit from the ultimate goodness, the highest level of goodness, is by attaching ourselves, it says, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And obviously, it's clear, so a human being can also there's only a certain amount of how much he can attach himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being a human being. So it's true that even when a person attaches himself to Hashem, he's not going to reach the same level of perfection and goodness as HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. But nevertheless, a person receives the ultimate good, because that goodness is derived from Hashem, and that is the most that any created being is able to gain. So as far as a human being is capable of gaining, the maximum is able is by attaching himself to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Attaching himself to Kodesh Baruch Hu will be able to glean, he says, as much ultimate goodness as is possible in this world. That is the only derech, that's the only way. So he sums up Lamaisa and he says as follows. V'nimso. So we have over here, Hayois Kavanosa Yizbarach Shemoy Bebriya Shiborom. So therefore, being that we started out this chapter and we said, Hashem's purpose in creation was Livroi, to create a being, Mishayir Nehenes, someone who's going to be able, right, to benefit, Bituvoso Yizbarach Shemoy. Baruch Hu created because he wants to be able to give the opportunity to create a being who will be able to benefit from Hashem's goodness. Now, ba'oisei haderech she'efshe she'anaboy, in the manner that is most suitable for him to benefit. In other words, quite simply is, he says, Kodesh Baruch Hu's purpose, again, in creating was to share his goodness, and the way that man is able to realize that, by attaching himself to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Otherwise, whatever you're going to have in this world, he says, is going to fall short from the ultimate what you're able to receive on the highest level and the epitome of goodness. Now, Machal goes on to say, but you realize many people, from the time that they are born, they go through a life of suffering. Many people have a lot of challenges in life. And certainly, a person has not come into this world. It's not all joy. And many people takes a long, long time, and sometimes, if ever. Why the Kodesh Baruch Hu created that? In order to realize that goodness, right, that you have all of these various challenges. You have to have all of these situations that comes across a person's path. Why did not Hashem create a person right away? Or should he be able to glean all the good as soon as he's born? Says Ramchal as follows. Hashem did not create, right, with the immediate ability, right, first of all, being that the only way to do it is through Dveikas Bashem. Dveikas Bashem does not come on your own. This is your own effort. This is something you have to work on. This is something that you have to put in your effort. You have to put in your koyach. As Ramchal says, V'ulam gozor chachmosoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his wisdom decreed, Sheliyois hatoiv sholem, that in order for the good to be as perfect as possible, right? In other words, clearly you see, it's Chochmah. In other words, this is all part of Hashem's wisdom as well. It's only the Chochmah of Hashem can design the world in such a way that man can receive the ultimate goodness that a created person is able to receive. And this is the way, he said. The way Hashem created was, it follows in a pattern. And that is, Hashem, Roy Shiyu Hanehenaboy Balatoivahu, it's only proper that for the person to benefit from Hashem's goodness, Pirish. Mishayikne hatoy beatsmoy. It means you have to acquire the good on your own. Which means to say that you have to toil with your own efforts to become worthy of now receiving of all of that goodness. The loy mishi slavaloy atoy bederech mikre. It's not a situation where the good is associated with chance. It's not by chance. Which means to say, quite simply, if a man was created, in a way that he's automatically attached to Kodesh Baruch Hu, it means that it's something that he didn't earn. And in that sense, it would not be something, would not be part of his being. But if a man, his association with the Kodesh Baruch Hu is through his own efforts, then that becomes part of his, it's not something extraneous, because part of his etzem being. Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted that the person through his efforts coming close to Hashem, so now him and Hashem becomes actually one. As Ramchal points out to say, Hashem did not want that a person, as he says, the Loshon of Ramchal that we have over here is, he did not want it should be b'derech mikra. Because if it is b'derech mikra, because it's typically a person is embarrassed to receive what's called an unearned gift. It's called Nahamad HaChasufa. It's many, many times all over in Sifrei Kabbalah that's mentioned. Nahamad HaChasufa means that the bread of shame. Bread of shame means that a person is embarrassed to receive a handout. To receive a handout from another and would much rather, right, receive that which he has earned. The Tosfos brings it down, actually, in Masechtas Kedushin of Lamed Vav, on the base from a Yerushalmi. And therefore, for the goodness to be given in a perfect way, right? In a perfect way, is in a way by earning it, we have the possibility to earn that which he receives. And that's why a person has to many times have to go through all the various challenges to make himself worthy, so now he earns the gift, the ultimate gift that only Hashem can bestow. So Kodesh Baruch Hu creates the world in a way that we know it, so that man would be able to acquire the right to receive Hashem's benefits. And that's why he goes on further. And he says, V'tire, Shezeh Nikra Ketzas Hizdamus. Why is it necessary? As we're saying now, right? It's necessary for a man to go through, right, many times, many situations, many challenges. The reason is because, being that we stated before, the way for a person, a human being, to be able to receive Hashem's ultimate goodness, become part of Hashem. To be part of Hashem, then you have to be similar to Hashem. In what way can a human being, can you be similar to Hashem? To attach himself to Hashem, you have to behave in a way that's similar to Hashem. So what type of behavior would mean that you are similar to Hashem? Says Ramchal, V'tire. You'll take note, Shezeh Nikra Ketzas Hizdamus. It's Ketzas. It's only possible only in a little way. It's only partial resemblance. What is the partial resemblance? The partial resemblance is She'efshar, which a human being is capable of. El Shleimus Yisbarach Shemoi. Right? To attain as much as possible, to become close to Hashem's perfection, is when you, through your own efforts, right, rise and you continue to grow,
to grow and living in a godly way. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, is automatically perfect. Ki hine hu yizborach shemoy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, with sholem b'yatzimoy, v'loy b'mikre. Hashem is intrinsically perfect. It's not a result of some extraneous circumstance, because that is Hashem. In other words, Hashem did not just happen to perfect himself. Hashem is perfect by his very nature. That's Hashem. We are not like that. But if we are able through our own efforts to perfect Hashem's, in that way we are somehow resembling HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ela Mitzad, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perfection is Mitzad Emitus Inyonoi. The reality of Hashem's existence is perfect. Emitus Inyonoi, the reality of Hashem's existence, Muchrach Boy, right? Hashleimus. Perfection is absolutely vital. That is the essence of Hashem. Umishalolim, again, is repeating again, Hashem is devoid of any chesroinus, of any false. That's Hashem. But v'ulam ze'i efshe shiyimse b'zolosoi. That level cannot exist in anything or anyone else other than Kodesh Baruch Hu. Sheyamitosoi muchrachas le'ashlemus. That a person's reality, right, should mean that he is perfect. That's not possible. Umeyedres menach chesroinus, that he does not have any deficiencies. That's not possible. It means to say, he says that even if man, Ramchal is saying, that even if man chooses to perfect himself, that perfection will never be the same as Hashem, because Hashem is intrinsically perfect. He says, man can nevertheless can achieve a closeness to Hashem, as Ramchal points out over here. He says, a person's reality can, at least partially, he's able to resemble HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sorech shel epochos. So at least, he says, you should do it with your own effort. Yehu hakoyin hashleimus. You should be the one who acquires, right, the extent of his perfection as much as possible. Because man's nature certainly is not in any way lending itself to perfection. Man can go any direction. She'ein emitus inyonoi machriach. That the reality of man, his very nature, is not vital. Very simple. The reality of man's existence is not vital to perfection. That's nesioinus. Which means that if you do perfect yourself, that's your efforts. And that's why now you have resembling HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now you are becoming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now you're able to attach yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says. The Yehu, he says. Therefore man, he says, by his very nature, he has to work. Madir ma'atzmoya chesroinus shehoyu esherim boy. Man has to be the one to remove from himself any type of shortcomings that he may possess. So in this way, now it comes out, the created person, right, develops a similarity to his creator, and thereby coming close to him, and be able now to partake of Hashem's perfection. So here, this is the cloud. So a man can only attain a state of dvekus by resembling a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And how does he do that? Man does by creating his own state of perfection. That is the Avodas Adam. Avodas Adam, you with your own efforts have to create your own state of perfection. How does that happen? Through your nesioinus. And you overcome the nesioinus. You have many things that are trying to pull you in different directions. So all through the nesioinus that a person goes through this world, thereby he acquires his perfection. And that way he becomes similar to Hashem. Hashem is the owner of his perfection. We are not that way. But now that we become similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by, as we mentioned, going through our own nesioinus, and thereby creating our own perfection, so now we have become similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is the way we attain Dveikus B'Hashem, and thereby becoming the beneficiaries of the ultimate goodness that Hashem is able to bestow. If that's the case, so now, it's explained why, that's the reason why a person cannot immediately receive the goodness that Hashem. Because why? Because a person to resemble Hashem has to actually, through his own efforts, has to acquire his own perfection. So he goes on now, and he says how it works. Al kein gozar v'seder v'seder sheyivru in yishleimus. So Kodesh Baruch Hu went on, he says, and he decreed and he arranged. Hashem arranged sheyivru in yon yishleimus yon chesroinus. In this world, therefore, there are two ways. This way, Kodesh Baruch created the world. There's ways of shleimus, there are ways, there are elements of perfection in the world, and there's elements of chisaron, there's elements of deficiency. Kodesh Baruch created two elements. Elements of perfection, and he creates elements of deficiency. And, v'tiborei beryeh, sheyeboho efsherus l'shnei yonim. And now Hashem created a being that has the option to pursue any of these two elements. This is the bechira. This is the bechira that is in front of a person that has the ability to choose any of these equally. Which means that being so different, being that you have this choice, because Baruch created elements of chesroinus, because Baruch created elements of perfection. So now, when you make a choice to pursue perfection, so that is the way that you acquired your own perfection, and through this ability you become close to Hashem. And once you become close to Hashem, then you're able to be able to glean from the all the goodness that Hashem is ready to bestow. So this is the mahalach actually that the Ramchal develops. One follows the other. The Yitnu, he says, Lidir Yahazoisem Tsoim. Akash Baruch Hu gives you, he says, the means. Because don't give you the means. Unless you want to make the right choices, of course you give the means. Because Baruch Hu gave you the tools. Because Baruch Hu gave you the tools, Shal Yodam Tikna Liatzim and Shalem Yois. Because Baruch Hu gave you the tools to which you can acquire all the many aspects of perfection. V'tadim and Menos HaChesroinis. And you can remove, he says, the deficiencies. Which means to say is, because Baruch Hu Taki gave you both ways, but because Baruch Hu also gave you the tools. So if a person shouldn't say, I can't do it, because Baruch Hu gave you the tools, that you should be able to choose the path that you want to choose. The Oz, and if you're successful, Yikore Shinizdamso, he says, then you can be referred to having compared Nizdamso, but Mesho Ye Efshelo Leboira. You have now resembled your Creator in the way that is possible. Because once you acquire your perfection, you did not deserve it, you did not receive it as an undeserved gift. So you have done it. So now you have succeeded in resembling HaKadosh Baruch Hu because you have acquired your perfection, the degree of your perfection, with your own efforts. So now, V'tiyeh re'uya le'davik boy v'lehenes betuvoy. And now you'll be worthy, by this attachment, to benefit from Hashem's goodness. So now we can understand why, right? Why man could not be created, right? Man could not be created without feelings of embarrassment. Upon receiving a hand, you could ask, so why didn't Hashem create you? You shouldn't be embarrassed. Let Hashem give you all the goodness, right? Let Hashem create you, you shouldn't have to be embarrassed. Why do you have to work for it? Why did Hashem create you in the matzah that you have to be embarrassed to receive, right, an undeserving gift? The answer is, because if Hashem wants to bestow upon man the greatest possible good, the great possible good is only when, if you resemble Hashem. The only way to resemble Hashem is, right, if you did something, you perfected yourself. If you perfected yourself, then you resemble Hashem. If you resemble Hashem, then that's the only way you're created, the base kibble to be able to share in Hashem's ultimate goodness. So this Rabbi says, so this is the Avodas Adam. So realize that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the word Lehetiv. So there is right there Hashem like is waiting to bestow all the tremendous goodness. The way to do it is to resemble Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that really is the challenge, and that is the test of everyone. And if we're zoiche, to the extent that we attach ourselves to Kadosh Baruch Hu, to that extent we're zoiche also to be able to glean from Hashem's goodness. Interesting situation that we have. And just to mention here, interesting little mice. And coming up always, you know, situations of remembering the last Churban, of course, is something that should never be forgotten, all of those Torahs. Survivors are less and less as time goes on. One of the greatest simcha of a survivor is when was able to rebuild his family after the war, after the Milchama, and certainly be able to see children. And if you have someone who, after the war, is able to see grandchildren, you can imagine this is something which people never dreamt. To be survivors, to survive, and then to be able to rebuild their families. One of the greatest simcha that one can imagine is to have a Zayda, who is a survivor, to be able to enjoy a bris or a bar mitzvah of a grandchild. So a particular situation where a survivor at a simcha, he says, I thank Hashem every day. He says, I thank Hashem every day. It's all about Hashem's goodness. He says, I thank Hashem every day. And he says, and I never forget, he says, how fortunate I am. He said, and he said this actually to a grandchild who was at a bar mitzvah. He was giving a little drosha to his grandchild. I'll never forget, he says, all the chasodim that Hashem did with me to allow me to live this day to see a bar mitzvah. And he says, I never thought I'd be able to live to see that. And we've heard these drushes many, many times at Simchas. Not the little or the amount of tears have been shed by that, you know, this very emotional experience. And so Nazeri said the following. He says, on Yom Tovim, you know, in Halal, when we thank Hashem for all the good and for all the nisim, that's when we say Halal. So he says, there is a posik, he says, this particular posik, he says, the Zayda says, that always when I come to that posik, he says, it causes me to stop. That pasuk, it says four short words. It says ki cholatzto nafshi mimovis. We say that Kadosh Baruch Hu, you delivered my neshama, he says, from death. Ki cholatzto nafshi mimovis. So the Zaydi said, he said to his grandchild, every time he says, when I come to those words, I pause, and I think what I went through. Actually, I myself, he says, I went through this. I was zeichet Hashem. He delivered me, And he says, but when I say these words, kichlatz nafshi memoves, he says, it's very difficult for me to utter the next phrase, because kichlatz nafshi memoves always seem to say it all. What does it say later? It's eini mendima, it's ragli midechi. He says, these are the ultimate words, kichlatz nafshi memoves. The other words, the other phrase seem to be a secondary. It's eini mendima, from crying. That's the ultimate. Yeah, it's like anticlimactic. Once you think kichlas nafshi memoves, okay, you know. Well, what's the other stuff? Kichlas nafshi memoves. He pointed out and says. So I realized one day. He said, "What happened to me?" The Zaydi said, "I was once." Remember, he says a story. He said, "I never told you before." He says to his grandchild and says, "He was a little boy himself." The Zaydi says, "When I was a little boy, he says I was younger than you are. So you're bar mitzvah. So I was younger." I was under my bar mitzvah, and he said, my family, many others, said they were rounded up, he says, and were taken down to Auschwitz, and there you had the men and the older boys were separated from the women and children. So you had the men and the older boys here on one side, the women and children on the other side, and each group was guarded, he says, by the SS men, and no communication was allowed between the various groups. So he says, I was huddled, he says, next to my mother, which meant that my mother never lived to see her again, and I was with her. And she held me tightly, and we stood there for about, it seemed hours, but it was only like a half an hour. And I saw that my mother, I was watching my mother, and her eyes were darting back and forth. It seemed like as if she was looking for my father, or maybe for my other brothers, older brothers. But they were nowhere to be found in that area. But as far as I could see, he says, my mother seemed to be searching for something. All of a sudden, she turns to me and said, now's your chance, and no soldiers looking. Run across to the other side and stay with the men. And you'll be saved. She was waiting for the moment when the coast seemed to be clear. So she says to him, this is the Zaydi saying, when I was a little boy, so my mother says, run across to the other side. He said, stay with the men, the bigger boys. They're the only ones that are going to be saved. So I didn't want to leave my mother. I was frightened, but she pushed me, said, no, you have to go. And I made a run for it. So he says, the Zaydi says, that the bar mitzvah of the Yanikol says, you know, I dashed across the field. I squeezed myself among the men and the boys who were taller than I. I was searching for my father and my brothers. I couldn't find them. He says, I wanted to cry, he says, because I wanted to be back with my mother, but I know if I would cry, a soldier might say, see, he was much shorter. He did not belong in that group. So he was like hiding, squeezing behind the men and the older boys. If he cries, he may be heard. He drew attention to himself. Says, I wanted to cry, but I realized if I cry, I might be caught. Everybody else was standing quietly at attention. I shut my eyes tightly so there would be no tears. And then he says, I could see a Nazi soldier making his way toward our group, and he'll notice that I'm shorter. So I stood on my toes. I stood up on my toes, he says, and to make myself, he says, to appear taller, I stood that way until he passed by, he says, and my legs felt that they were like collapsing, because how long can I stand that way? But I realized, the moment that I stand flat on my feet, I may be noticed. He said, but catch me, then my life is over. So he began, he says, with all my koich, he says, I continued to stand on my toes, and Hashem did not allow my legs to collapse. I stood that way, what seemed to be hours, until we were told to move on. And then he says, a number of years later, he says, I realized that this is the pshat of the posik. The posik says as follows, Ki chalatz nafshi mimodes, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you delivered, he says, you delivered my soul, he says, from death. You know how? Es eini mendima. You did not let me cry. Had I cried, I would have been caught. And as ragli midechi, he says, you kept my feet from stumbling. Had I stumbled, I would have been caught again. So this was all the chasodim, he said, the little protim, in order to be saved. So now, as a result of all that, for Hashem doing all that chesed for me, so what's my commitment to Hashem? How do I pay back? Es halech lifnei Hashem. I'm going to rebuild Yiddishkeit. I'm going to build a new generation. I'm going to make a commitment to Yiddishkeit. And that's the schus, he says, I have you to see, he says, as the legacy and the Messiah continue on. That's the only way to pay back Kodesh Baruch Hu for all the chesed and all the goodness. Okay.